Welcome to another Thursday night edition of Sports Look here on Care Radio. Our fantastic sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Wait, the football season continues, and tomorrow night we're going to begin postseason coverage here on Care Radio as it will be the Atchison Phoenix at home. Abbott Amelia Earhart Stadium will be there as it'll be Atchison and Fort Scott tomorrow night on Care Radio, 7 o'clock kickoff. Saturday afternoon, the Benedictine Ravens are home. It is homecoming 2022, and the Ravens are going to be hosting longtime nemesis Baker. Care Radio pregame at about 12:30, 1 o'clock kickoff Saturday for the Ravens at Wilcox Stadium here on Care. Gus Counts to my left, Tom Counts with you, and Gus, it is hard to believe that the high school football season, regular season's over, and we're now in postseason play.
It's that mythical week 9, right? It's kind of crazy because, yeah, I mean, and we always say how fast the seasons go. It doesn't seem like that long ago we were making our way up to Amelia Earhart Stadium for game 1 of the season where Atchison hosted Ottawa. The sun was in your eyes for like a quarter and a half, and it was hot, right? Now, fast forward to last Saturday, we're over in Marshall. It's just blistering hot, windy, and it's kind of tough to feel like, wow, it's already the, you know, towards the end of the season. But, you know, we're here. It's week 9. You've got playoff brackets. You've got schedules of teams playing, you know, final games of the year. It's that time of the year, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, and week 8 saw, again, like we've seen all season, so many points scored as the Phoenix rolled Wyandotte 59-18. Highland Park went to Washington, broke 100 combined points, 62-48. Sumner blanked Northeast, 38-0. It was an overtime game with Bonner getting by Schlegel by 3. Rockhurst shuts out Harmon 41-0. Shifting over to the NEKL, Silver Lake and ACCHS, what a game that was. The Tigers battling hard right to the end, but Silver Lake able to prevail 41-30. Jackson Heights blanked Onega 27-0. JCN, we saw them as Mission Valley. They were tough. They were in this thing to win, but the Chargers win at 38-14. Wabunsee defeats Horton. It was Rossville getting by Marhill Mount Academy. St. Mary's, no trouble with McLeod. Centralia over Pleasant Ridge by 40. And Oskaloosa, a 20-point W over Valley Falls. Well, as we go through all of that, we shift our sights to the postseason and matchup games. And, of course, some of them are not playoff games. But the good news is, high school fans, everybody's still playing tonight.
Yeah.
Well, not exactly. Well, yeah. This weekend. And some of you are playing tonight.
Yeah, some are playing Thursday. Some are playing Friday. You know, it all depends. And let's just start with some of those Meadowlark teams. You're going to see Emporia go to Highland Park, Topeka West at Sumner, Washington at the Purple Dragons of Pittsburgh, Wyandotte at Olathe Northwest, Schlegel, by virtue of losing to Bonner the other night, they're going to get Chanute. And then Harmon will be at Mill Valley.
Now, you see, when I look at the Meadowlark and I look at all of these postseason matchups, the first thing that I think of is, what classification is this? And it's all of them. It's 4A, it's 5A, it's 6A. This Meadowlark Conference covers the gambit in sizes of schools.
Yeah, so if you're talking about like a team such as Highland Park, right? Because they're in that 5A, they're going to get Emporia. Emporia's having a down year this year. So the winner of that Highland Park and Emporia game, you're going to get the winner of Topeka Seaman and Blue Valley Southwest. So Seaman is a team who has some familiarity with Highland Park, having been former conference teams over the years. So that's really how that will work out. We talked about Sumner and Topeka West. They'll get the winner of Pittsburgh and Kansas City, Washington. So there is a chance, an outside chance, but a chance that you have a round two matchup of two Meadowlark teams.
Yeah, and you talk about Harmon as, you know, they're going to be at Mill Valley. That is a number 8 v. number 16 matchup.
Yeah, that's
Mill Valley really good. The Panthers outstanding.
So jumping back over to Class 4A, that's where Atchison finds themselves against Fort Scott. So the winner of that game, you're saying, all right, so who would Atchison, let's say they can push forward and win and get into round two, they would get the winner of 6-2, Baser Linwood, or, where's Millvale? Oh, St. James.
Yep.
Yeah, or 4-4, St. James Academy. So, don't be fooled either by either of those teams' records, right?
Yeah, you don't want to get tricked too much. St. James Academy's 4-4, but they lost to, Blue Valley Northwest, Blue Valley Miege, and Blue Valley North. So
and then let's talk about the teams they beat, right? So St. James then turned around and beat Aquinas at Aquinas. They beat St. Pius X. They won at Blue Valley and, also went down to Cape and then came away with a 2-point victory.
Yeah, so there's nothing simple about any of that. So St. James Academy and Baser Linwood, that should be a really, really outstanding game going to be played down at Baser. We've been down there lots of times and watched games.
Yep. So, and then we'll just try to keep you up to speed on Saturday night as the game is progressing and see where things fall, right?
Yeah. And by the way, if you're interested in the West half, the number one team out there is Wamego. They're going to be at home with Ulysses, another couple of old Atchison High and area team opponents. So you're going to know a little bit about them. And they are they're the number one seed, of course, in the West half of the state of Kansas.
Right, and Wamego is Western Kansas.
Yeah, it's past Topeka.
Right, see? Thank you.
Yeah, anything beyond
Finally
Topeka.
Somebody sees it
Oh, no, I got it. I understand completely. West of Topeka, Western Kansas.
Hey, how about we jump just real quick? We'll gloss over Class 3A because there are some teams from around the area. One of those teams we saw earlier this year, Perry LeCompton is going to travel to Bishop Ward. Holton is going to be home with Santa Fe Trail. You know, you've got Hayden at home with Baldwin. Royal Valley will be at Wellsville. Anderson County is going to get the number one seed, Galena.
And if, you know, Galena, if you remember, well, you might not, back in the early 80s, Morehead Academy, in the late in the postseason, travels down to Galena. And Galena is a team that is red hot right now, five-game winning streak, having beaten Columbus, Baxter Springs, Parsons, St. Mary's, Frontenac. They've also started the season with a Riverton win. But when you're that far south, you're also going to play Quapaw, Oklahoma, a little road trip. So you kind of cross some of those state boundaries a little bit down there, but they're an outstanding team down in the southeast.
Yeah, and then the bottom half of the bracket, so what, your west portion, Rock Creek and Clearwater, you're going to get Andale and Goodland, Holcomb and Pratt. That game is going to be played at Holcomb, in case you were wondering, and it's going to try to pick up a game. And the Beavers of Scott City will be at home with Smoky Valley. So a handful of teams that you're familiar with. Can I tell you, I still struggle to adapt to what teams are 4A and what teams are 3A.
Yeah, it's
and
it
2A,
bounced,
I guess.
It's kind of bounced around a little bit. And if you think you're confused now, wait till basketball season this year.
Yeah, I hear that's kind of a mess.
That has been really mixed up. But we'll get to that all in its appropriate time.
We digress. Okay, jumping down to Class 2A. 2A is going to see ACCHS traveling out to Sabetha. Talk about the Blue Jays this year under head coach Garrett Michael. They're 6-2. They went 3-2 in the Big 7. They lost at Holton 35-14. Lost last week to Nemaha Central 24-7. They've got wins against Horton, Riverside, Riley County, Minneapolis, Jeff West, and Perry LeCompton. You want to look up and down. If you're a Tiger fan and you're saying, man, how did we get Sabetha? I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. We saw Atchison thump Perry, right?
Yes.
Perry's okay. They're not great.
No,
like, I mean, Atchison was able to, you know, handle them pretty well. Jeff West is bad this year, right? Hold on, let's look.
They've had their struggles.
Yeah, they're 0-8.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
You've got Riley County, who's a little down. You've got, now, Riverside is a team who's kind of been up and down, right? Like, they'll play really good one week, and then they lost to Troy in a big way, which I didn't see that game coming. So Riverside's an up and down team. Horton's a team who's been struggling to kind of find their footing. And then I was surprised that Sabetha wasn't going to hold any closer with Nemaha in that game, right? Like, because that's a rivalry game. They're pretty close. So for the Tigers, this is going to be a great matchup. I don't mind this matchup if you're ACCHS. You come away with a win here, you're going to get a shot at either Silver Lake or Riley County. And again, Silver Lake's a team you had on the ropes last week. So for ACCHS, this is not that bad of a little bracket right here.
No. And again, Coach Thornburg's done such a great job with those guys. Love that team. Love its size. Love its speed. Love the heart that they bring to every game. So the Tigers have, you know, I think a pretty bright run into the postseason ahead of them.
You know what part I don't like is you drop down towards the bottom of that bracket. Nemaha Central, Pleasant Ridge, Rossville, and Minneapolis all play each other here in week one, right? So you're going to have Nemaha Central at home with Pleasant Ridge. You're going to have Rossville at home with Minneapolis, and the winner of those games are going to go on to play each other in round two, right? So there's going to be some pretty good teams going down pretty quickly into the playoffs.
And if you're really interested in Class 2A and you're following it, you know, out west, you've got Southeast of Saline is going to be the number one seed out there. Kingman will be the number two. And you know, you've got teams with whom you're going to be familiar, like Hoisington and Halstead and Chaparral and, you know, Hillsboro, some of those guys.
Yeah,
and West teams.
You know, Kingman having a really good year this year. They are 8-0 and playing good football in Western Kansas. Dropping down to Class 1A.
It all starts tonight, man.
Whew. Yeah, going to kick it off tonight.
There are a handful of games, in fact, in Class 1A tonight, and there's a very good reason for that. For example, Wabunsee is going to be at home with Belle Plaine. You're also going to find Jefferson County North at home tonight, as the Chargers will be at home, and you talked about hosting Riverside, so that should be a very, very interesting game down there. Opie will be hosting Uniontown also this evening. St. Mary's Colgan is at home with Central Heights. Jayhawk Lynn is going to be at home at Mound City. They're going to be hosting Northeast Arma. So those are some of the games that will be going on this evening in the East half. There's some other teams going on in the West. And here's the deal. It is state championship weekend for volleyball. Class 1A, if you're in the East half of the state, you got a serious, serious bus ride because they're playing in the wireless arena in Dodge City, Kansas. Which, by the way, if you're in Dodge, it's right at the intersection of 50 and the U.S. 50 bypass that comes around from the north side of town, right on the very west edge of the city. Delightful complex.
Right by El Capitan?
No. El Capitan to be a couple of miles, but you drive right past El Capitan. You can wave at him.
Okay.
Try to throw your cowboy hat on his horns as you go by.
All right. I like it. Is there a shootout, right? Like,
oh, there will be. Okay. About every hour.
Okay. Well, on the hour,
so
right?
You got that to look forward to, which is nice.
You know, also, heads up, check your times of your games, right? Last thing you want to do is show up for a 7 o'clock game that started at 6. And there are a few of those. One of those being Troy and Mission Valley. That game tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. Opie Uniontown was a 6 o'clock game. So there are a few of those games that are 6 o'clock this week. And can I tell you, if there's a team I want to be in Class 1A, there is one, right?
Is there?
There is one team I want to be if I'm Class 1A.
And who would that be?
Conway Springs, baby.
Okay.
Right? Because Conway Springs, they've got a bye, right? They're off this week. They don't play till next week. They'll get the winner of Plainville and Hutch Trinity. So maybe I don't want to be them next week, but I would like to be them this week with that nice little bye in round one. Smith Center and Whitewater Remington in that, Valley Heights, Sedgwick. So
yeah, and again, other teams playing around here. Again, Colgan has got Central Heights. St. Mary's at home with Jackson Heights on Friday night. Friday night also, it'll be Troy at home. They have Mission Valley. Erie hosts Pleasanton Friday night. Centralia will entertain McLouth. And then the last game on the east side, that's a Friday night game. It'll be Marion at home with Sacred Heart. So there you have it, the kind of the shakedown in Class 1A. So that all said, it's going to be pretty good. Oh, by the way, including teams that are not in a postseason, we've got Morehill Mount Academy is going to be at Horton on Friday evening. So the Ravens will have their final game of the season. And
future
head coach Fred will have wrapped up season one at the helm.
A couple other games. Oskaloosa will play Onega in Ellenwood. And Valley Falls are going to lock up. So Should be interesting.
Yes. That all said, lots of high school football. And again, Friday night we will have the Atchison Phoenix game. Is there in the postseason hosting Fort Scott? You'll hear that tomorrow night here on K Radio. Check MSCSports.net for all of the game times and, you know, and cheer on your favorite teams. Hey, we're going to be back. We've got lots more to talk about as Sports Hook continues here on CARE. Welcome back to Sports Hook here on CARE Radio. We shift our focus from the high schools to college football and the Benedictine Ravens. Gus, you alluded to it earlier in segment one. It was a sunny, hot, windy, blustery day in Marshall, Missouri, but that didn't stop the Ravens. Started off a little slowly, but once they got their game legs underneath them, they had just really no trouble.
How many times do you and I talk about this after a game, which is they played good, but they didn't play their best, but yet they still won by 21, right? Yeah. I mean, there are times you look at a game, and I think when you talk to Coach Osborne on Saturday, he's going to say, that was a game where there are a lot of things we can come away from and improve upon and work on. So I think for them it's a good thing because you can always get better. But BC still scores 45 points. They were a little slow in the first quarter, but the second half they held, Valley to about 100 yards of total offense. And it's like they can flip that switch at any point and then just start putting distance between them and their opponents because they're just that much better than a lot of these teams.
Yeah, I mean, over 500 yards of total offense, that's always kind of, for me, kind of a benchmark number that I like to see them get beyond. And 500 yards is a lot of yards. You get 500 yards, you're going to score some points. We saw the emergence of a running back a little bit. I mean, we'd seen Rayshon improving. He had 10 carries for 59, but we saw Derek Overstreet come into the game. 6 carries, 60 yards. You know, he got himself into the end zone. So Derek establishing himself a little bit and maybe taking some of the heat off of Garrett Kettle to run the ball. He ran 5 for 39.
Yeah, and when you're talking about Overstreet, he's a guy that all season we've been seeing, he's got a lot of speed, but maybe he'll hit the hole and just kind of miss it, right? Like, I mean, he just kind of struggled to find where that gap is and where the ball needs to go. And when he hit that 40-yard run, I was just excited for the kid because it's like it clicked, right? Like, he hit the line, saw the angle to the right, slides over, hits the gap, hits the afterburners, and he was gone.
Wait,
right?
Did you see that flash out there and feel that was a light bulb coming on?
Exactly. I mean, and that's what, for me, because, of course, I like my backs, but it was like, that's it. He maybe has just figured it out, and this could be huge for him, and the Ravens could use another back to be able to kind of lean on, and it was great to see Derek Overstreet be able to do that. Now, the one thing, can I tell you, we had a little over a two-hour drive back home from Marshall, and they're always nice, especially when you win. I don't think once during that trip did I say, or you, that Garrett Kettle's, like, probably the player of the week in the conference, right? Like, you know, I mean, he had a solid game,
He had a great game. I mean, he 19 to 33 passing, you know, almost 300 yards through the air, threw 3 touchdown passes, no interceptions. It was a good day.
Yeah. I mean, but there have been games where Kettle puts up bigger numbers than that, and he's not even getting looks in the conference. But for Garrett, happy for him. It's going to be his second Conference Player of the Week award this year. He had one back on the 26th of September, one again this week. So, you know, Garrett has just played solid, and, you know, he's improved quite a bit this year, and I think it's just getting comfortable with that offense, right? You had a new offense last year, new coordinator and things like that, so taking time to kind of settle into it, but he's cut down on his turnovers this year, and I really think that's the difference between this team this time last year and now.
And here's another thing that I think that makes Benedictine a difficult opponent. Of course, I will start off and say point blank with no embarrassment that I am totally biased. Okay,
yes.
We'll just start with that. 11 different receivers caught a pass, and that includes Jacob Gathright, who went over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah. And so Jacob has incredible speed, right? And he's also getting that one-on-one coverage because a lot of people are trying to take away Jayshon, right? And teams are going to have to make a decision. Do I take away Gathright? Do I take away Jayshon? I can't take away both of them. And that's kind of how it's been this year. If somebody takes away one, the other one steps up. If somebody takes away the other, it's vice versa. And I'm telling you, Gathright's a home run hitter, right? Averaging a little over 24 yards a catch coming into Saturday's game, yeah. And he did nothing to hurt himself.
Saturday's averaging over 36 a catch.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's going to put himself up there, you know, within the top two or three in the country now on yards per catch.
And then, of course, you've got these great receivers, the wide receivers with all this speed. And so, how do you mix it up? Well, you get Harry O'Neill with a couple of catches, you know, averaging 17 yards a catch. You go back to Reed Levi, three catches and another touchdown for Reed. So you also mix in those tight ends again.
Yep. And, I mean, we're starting to also see Tanner Zimmerman, the freshman out of Olathe, get worked into the mix a little bit. He missed a catch late in the game, but, man, he's been a great blocker for this team. And that's the other thing. BC just keeps throwing new pieces at you, and you're sitting there going, huh. I hadn't seen that combination, but I like it.
Yes.
I mean, how many times do we say that during the game? Like, hadn't seen those guys, but I liked it.
And I love the, let's flip the ball. We don't ever give enough love to the defense. And while the secondary's been good, I'm telling you what, that defensive front has been fantastic. You got Isaac Anderson and Dwayne Lacy, Gavin Spangler, all just loading up on tackles.
And you know who has quietly been, all right, I'm going to peel back the curtain. Quietly, my favorite defensive player right now, Tyler Wilson.
You think?
Yeah. Tyler Wilson has been just a beast coming off the edge. He has, what, like 5.5 sacks already this season? But he has been a monster. And you know what else he's done? He set up a lot of that Isaac Anderson stuff in the middle, okay? Because Tyler Wilson is flying off the edge, forcing the quarterback back up into the pocket. And I guess I'm also burying the lead here. It's the other defensive end, Heath Baker, right? Those two guys get into the backfield, set the edge so well, the quarterback can't roll out of the pocket. So what's he got to do? He's got to step up into the pocket. And who's there? Your guys, exactly. Dwayne Lacy, Isaac Anderson, and Gavin Spangler, right? And so those defensive ends this year, Tyler Wilson, Heath Baker, have done a great job of really setting the edge, forcing the quarterbacks up into the pocket. And when you force them back into those guys, they're not going to miss you.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, another tip of the hat, the leading tackler on the day, 5 tackles for Jackson Hoskins.
Yeah, and Jackson Hoskins is a guy who, here's the deal, offensive has to throw at somebody, okay? I wouldn't want to throw at any of these corners. But when they throw to Jackson Hoskins, he is giving up, like, hardly anything yards after the catch, okay? Ball, if it's completed, Hoskins is there to take him down. Like, it's over. Like,
well, five
so you better
tackles,
run.
5 solo tackles.
Yeah. Then that's what I'm saying is, if you're supposed to pick up 5 yards, you better run that route 5-6 yards because you can't run at 4 expecting to pick up another. I mean, Hoskins has been great there. There were some games around the Heart of America Athletic Conference, and 2 of them were good, right? Last week, Grandview in the early game knocked off Graceland 48-7. Culver Stockton over Clark 41-21. And I say that wasn't a good game because they won by 20. They struggled for most of that game. Culver Stockton did. Evandrel holds off Baker 17-12. And Baldwin, Peru State comes from behind to beat William Penn 27-25 in that ball game. Penn got up. What did they get up? I mean, they were up 15-0 at one point in that ball game. So,
what that sets up then, another big weekend in the conference, is we're down to 3 weeks remaining in the regular season.
You know what else I love? Every game this week?
What's that?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock games. You do have to love that. Grandview is going to go to Peru State. You know what? Peru may give them a better fight than you think. I'm not saying they're going to win.
Yeah, maybe.
No. Here's a game that I'm really focused on is that Mid-America Evangel game. It's going to be at Eagle Stadium down in Nixa.
And that's the last 2 opponents for Benedictine, right?
Correct. So I think the Raven coaching staff may watch this film at some point.
You know what else it's going to do? Let's talk about it in the big picture of things. I think Mid-America and Evangel are both still alive in the postseason with only 2 losses. Do I think they can get there? No, but I think they're still somewhat alive.
Well, yeah, today they are, but when they end up with 3 losses apiece.
Right. Whoever loses this game
is done.
Checks out tomorrow, okay? And then when Benedictine takes care of the other one, it'll be over. I mean, the Heart of America Athletic Conference, They're getting two teams.
They're getting two
right?
teams.
It's going to be Benedict and it's going to be Grandview, and that's it.
Yes. Other games going on in Marshall, again, for the second consecutive week. Missouri Valley will be at home hosting, this time, Central Methodist. The closest trip in the conference ever. Penn will be entertaining Culver Stockton, and it'll be Graceland up at Clark in Dubuque. Of course, our game here on K-Radio, Raven homecoming, Benedict, then Baker, 1 o'clock, K-Radio pregame, 12:30 Saturday, right afternoon.
Even though Baker's down a little bit, don't you still just like have
you
that
worry?
Feeling a little bit of
it
like...
I like it. It harkens back to the old days when you always played them right at Halloween
right.
weekend.
And if you're Baker, this is their season. Right.
Of course it is.
Saturday is their season because this is their chance to knock BC down, right? Especially when they're rolling
their
pretty high, homecoming.
A significant win.
Right. They need something, you know. So, again, we'll talk more about that on Saturday afternoon, but this is a big game for Baker.
And Benedict, then you talk about them, the Ravens, of course, with yeah, there's not. It's not easy to move up when you get into the top 10. Somebody ahead of you has got to fail, and last week that did happen, and the Ravens move up one more notch. They're now number 7.
Yeah, we got to about I-70, and I said, huh, it's a good thing if the number 7 team in the country loses, and College of Idaho did that. And I think that if you're Coach Osborne this week, you're talking to your team about that College of Idaho game, right? Because College of Idaho lost to Montana Western. Coming into that game, Montana Western was like 2-3. Right, so they got them back to about 500 after that game, and so you got to be on your toes that everybody can knock you off at any point this season. And for BC, they move up to 7, and what? Not this week, but next week. 3 plays 6, so you will jump one more because I don't care if 3 loses or 6 loses, they're falling below you.
Yes.
And so I think at this point, 6 is kind of your ceiling.
That's the top.
Yeah, I mean.
Unless
you know,
something just
and something crazy could happen, but I'm going to tell you, Grandview's not losing, Northwestern's not losing, Morningside's not
correct.
Losing. So 1-2-3 are not going anywhere. Could Lindsey Wilson lose at the end of the season when they go to Georgetown? Quite easily.
Yeah,
but,
Georgetown got in the poll this week.
Right. So let's figure that. But again, I think that your really glass ceiling right now is 6.
There you go. So Benedictine homecoming this week, and you've got it here on K Radio at 1 o'clock. Stick around. We're going to talk to him as we've been introducing some of the Raven coaching staff. We're going to have the other Barraza, Adam, is going to join us. More Sports Look right after this. We're visiting with Adam Barraza, one of the assistant coaches on the Benedictine College football staff. Coach, how you doing today, man?
Doing well. How are you?
I'm great. I think for the listeners, first thing we've got to clear up is they're going to say, wait a minute, you talked to Coach Barraza last week. Well, we talked to Coach Brian Barraza last week. This is Adam Barraza, the better-looking twin, I think, probably, right?
Yeah, you got that right. Anyone can tell you.
I love it. Coach, we'll start off with, let's do the little bio, where, you know, home and maybe your high school and football experience, some of that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in San Marcos, California, which is on the northern part of San Diego County. I went to Mission Hills High School. The head coach is Chris Hauser, who's actually our wide receiver coach, Aaron Hauser's father. Played there for 4 years. I played quarterback and free safety. And I played free safety because I had to make a position change as there was a kid that had offers to everywhere at quarterback. So I wanted to get on the field, so I decided to play free safety. Coming out of high school, I was recruited by some D3s and some junior colleges, but decided that what I really just wanted to do was focus on my education. So I went to Palomar Community College and studied history, and the goal was to go to the best 4 year that I could and to graduate with history to apply to law school. At the time when I was going to junior college, my high school head coach had given me a call and asked if I wanted to come in on staff and help coach, as they were pretty low staff. And so I said, heck yeah, I mean, let's get back into it. So I coached there for 3 years. I coached the safeties. And then when I graduated from my community college, I transferred to UCLA and studied history there for 2 years. I just graduated in June. And then I moved out here 2 weeks later. come and coach ball and get my master's. And the transition from California to Kansas has been great. I really do love it here. The community here at Benedictine College is amazing. And I couldn't thank staff enough for welcoming me in here.
So is the potential barrister in you still kind of floating around?
I'm sorry?
Is the whole law thing still floating around in your head? You think that
it is
someday?
Still floating. Yeah, so it is still floating around in my head. But right now, I mean, so it's 2 years to get my master's here at Benedictine College, and that's what I'm focused on right now. I'm taking it day by day. I mean, it's my first time ever being a college coach, so I'm just trying to really do well at that.
And you're coaching the running backs?
Correct. Yeah, so originally I had gotten brought on to help coach Gartmeier with the safeties, and then Coach Gartmeier had taken a step back from coaching, and then Coach Yost, the former running backs coach, took the offensive coordinator job up in South Dakota. So Coach Osborne asked if I could coach the running backs, and I said, "Yeah, I'll do it. I had an offensive background when I played, and the offense that we had ran back at Mission Hills is similar to our offense, multifaceted, trying to get the ball in space. So, I mean, it's been great. I love what I'm doing right now.
Running back to Benedictine, man, it seems like all of a sudden, I'm looking, last week you had like 8 or 9 guys carrying the ball. I mean, you have a huge stable of talent up there.
Yeah, no, the room's been awesome, and everyone's starting to step up now. I mean, we kind of relied on the quarterback to run the ball early in the year, and now that the running backs are taking the load, it's just going to be even better for our offense. So it's a credit to those kids. They work really hard day in and day out, and, I mean, I'm proud of them so far. Just got to keep working.
Besides running the ball, your running backs also have a huge job. They're blockers a lot of the time.
Right. Yeah, and that's something that we focus on with our running backs. I mean, you got to be an all-purpose back. You got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to block. You got to be able to run routes and catch. And that's what we've been doing. Our offense is very complex, and we ask our running backs to do a lot, and they're very selfless kids. They are going to go do their job, even if it means that they're not going to get the ball, and it's blocking for their teammates. They've been really excelling at that.
So the bottom line is it's for the good of the team, right?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, who was your football inspiration, maybe when you were a kid?
Yeah, I would say Coach Hauser is definitely my inspiration. We didn't play tackle football until we had got to high school, so he was really the guy that we learned everything from. And, I mean, he's been doing it for, I want to say, damn near 40 years now. He is very successful, and, I mean, we just absorbed everything that he had to say. So I would say, yeah, he was definitely my inspiration. One of my favorite players growing up was LaDainian Tomlinson, the running back for the San Diego Chargers. I mean, he was just electric. So I would say he was probably my favorite player growing up.
Well, we're visiting with Adam Barraza, one of the assistant coaches up at Benedictine College. And, Coach, let's learn a little bit other stuff about you. We know that you have a football mind. We know that you're a history student now. But do you have any hidden talent? I mean, we found out that some of your coaches are snowboarders and do all kinds of incredible stuff. What is your hidden skill?
I just like to stay active and stay busy. I mean, there's all sorts of games that I like to play, but one of the activities that I love to do is to surf. I mean, obviously there ain't too much surfing out here in Kansas, but back home that was something that I really got into when I had stopped playing ball. And then another thing would be climbing. And I mean, it's just these activities that can keep your mind going and keep you fit that I certainly enjoy. So I would say that. And if you get me on a ping pong table, I mean, I will tear it up. I love playing ping pong.
Is there a ping pong table? We hear the Tyreek Hill story. Is there a ping pong table in the Benedictine coaching office?
No, there isn't. But I want to start pushing one because I think that's something that would be awesome to have.
Well, you go back and forth, and I'm sure that, you know, getting back to SoCal and visiting family and traveling around doing recruiting and stuff, you're in the car a lot. You're driving around. What's on the radio, man? What are you listening to?
On the radio, I love I always say my two favorites are rap and reggae. I would say my reggae inspiration was from my older brother, Nolan. He was really young, started listening to Bob Marley, and then, I mean, he went out to Hawaii and then brought back some of this great music, this Hawaiian reggae music. But I really do listen to everything. I mean, my roots for music are from my dad are classic country, him growing up in El Paso, Texas. So like George Strait and, all those guys. But I would say rap and reggae for sure.
Are you a podcast listener ever?
Yeah, I like the comedian podcast and some sports podcasts. One of them that I like is, by Tom Segura, and, another one that I like is called Part of My Take. It's a Barstool podcast. So
yeah, but you're not into the true crimes and all of those things. I thought maybe even a history podcast, you know?
Yes, there is actually a great history podcast called Dan Carlin. It's Dan Carlin's Hardcore History. And one of my favorite series that he does is about the Mongols. I believe it's called, I can't think of it off the top of my head. I think it's called The Wrath of the Khans. And, I mean, just learned about the great Kublai Khan, who was Genghis Khan's grandson. I mean, and then starting off with Genghis Khan, I think those are very interesting. And something that you probably don't remember from high school history, that I think if you're interested, you should definitely go and check it out. It's called Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, the series of The Wrath of the Khans.
It sounds like they stole that from an old Star Trek movie from back in the 80s.
They very well could have.
you don't remember The Wrath of Khan, I suppose. That's probably too old for you.
Yeah, I was more of a Star Wars guy.
Hey, Adam Barraza with us. We're just talking about things and stuff. He's an assistant coach on the Benedictine football staff. Coach, best sandwich. What are you going to order up?
My favorite sandwich, it's got to be this place back at home. It's called Board and Brew. It's a San Diego local spot, and there's a couple of them down there. And the sandwich is called the California Delight, which is just turkey with sprouts, cream cheese on rye bread. And they have this orange sauce that's their special sauce that is awesome. So probably the Board and Brew California Delight just reminds me of home.
The secret sauce is the magic there, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If you're going to have one song, and you've already told me the kind of genre that you enjoy, one song that you had locked on the radio, couldn't change it, what's that song going to be?
I would say my walk-up song for when I played baseball, Hypnotized by the Notorious B.I.G.
Oh, so you played baseball a little too?
Yeah, I did. So I grew up playing, so when I originally went into high school, I played three sports for my freshman and sophomore year, and then dumped basketball going into my junior year and played football and baseball my senior year. I played, my primary position was catcher, but I also played a little bit of outfield as well. And, our senior year, we ended up winning the championship, so that was a whole lot of fun. I'll have those memories for the rest of my life.
So we're talking Padres fan here, huh?
Oh, yeah, go Padres.
I can see that. Hey, this is really tough, and this is pretty serious, you know, so I have to ask you, Superman, Batman, Spider-Man?
Give me Superman. Superman will take any of those guys in a fight. He's the only natural-born superhero, and he was born to do it.
I love it. Do you read comic books as a kid?
I did here and there, but I wasn't too much into it. I just more watched the shows and the movies.
The Saturday morning animated series, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, as a kid, you know, you think back, you know, birthdays and Christmases and stuff. What is the best gift that you ever got? The one that you said, oh, my gosh, this is fantastic. What was it?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I would say my favorite gifts were probably, like, anything for sports that I really needed. So I think I must have been in like seventh grade or something like that when I got this Demarini Voodoo bat. And, it was just, I hit a lot of bombs with that thing. So I would say that's probably one of my favorite gifts.
What position did you play, by the way?
I played, outfield and catcher.
And so you could hit the long ball?
Oh, yeah.
That was your thing. You batted, what, fourth, fifth?
Me and Brian were always, around three and four.
That's fantastic. So, well, that was the best gift that you ever got. What's the best gift that you ever gave, the thing that you actually put some thought in and you said, man, this is a perfect thing for this person, and I know exactly what I'm going to do?
One of the gifts that my brother loved that I gave to him his first year that he came out here was just a really good snow jacket. It was like a two-piece jacket, like the outer shell and then like a warmer inner one. And I mean, he uses it every single day in the winter. So I'd say like those gifts that, I mean, you know, someone is going to use is my favorite gifts to give, and probably that one.
So
the Columbia jacket, pretty pricey, and man, he loves it.
So my guess would be SoCal guys, are you wearing breaking out the parkas like already?
Yes. All the other coaches are making fun of me, but I mean, I'm not acclimated to this weather. Today's a great day. It's 70 and sunny, and the game on Saturday at Mo Valley is going to be 80 degrees, but we had a practice this week that was down in the 40s, and I'm just not used to that. I was double sweatshirt, gloves. I'm about to break out my boots here pretty soon.
Do you guys travel over here together, or did you come in different times?
No. So my brother, he was already out here, because he'd been out here for 2 years now. And then he was here in the summer doing some work. So after I graduated, I'd take some time to relax for 2 weeks. And then me and my buddy, Ian, helped me make the long drive over here. So, we didn't come back. We didn't come out together, but we'll probably go back together.
Do you split rent?
We actually don't live together right now. He and the tight ends coach, Jake Leonard, live in a spot. And then I stay with Brad Hines, the defensive ends coach. So, no.
Okay, you mentioned some of the names that we've already had. Of course, your brother, we've had Jake on and Brad. So this coaching staff and head coach Osborne, it seems like it's developed into, in a relatively short term, because most of you guys are relatively new, young guys into the program, seems like you've gelled really nice and really quickly.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, we all get along really well. And then, I mean, part of that's definitely because a couple of us live together. But no, everyone's been great here so far, and we all love each other, definitely.
And, of course, it makes it easier, too. And I had an old coach tell me, nothing makes Wheaties taste better in the morning than having won the day before. And you guys are winning a lot of games, and that always makes life better. This is a good bunch of young athletes you've got.
Yeah, it's been a great season so far. We can't get too high. Season's still done, and, like, our season's still not over. I mean, like Kobe Bryant always said, the job's not done. Just got to keep playing ball, keep winning.
And moving toward upcoming seasons, you get involved in the recruiting and stuff too?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so I'm a young coach, so I'm still learning the ropes about all this. But yeah, I believe as of right now, my area is to help Coach Cook with the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Which is great because my parents actually live in Dallas now. They lived there for 2 years with my mom's job taking her over there. So I'll probably be staying with the parents when I go do some recruiting.
Well, that is fantastic. And again, it's got to be just a joy to be around the great athletes you've got and the successful year that we've already talked about. And we're looking forward to this season having a long road ahead of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I can't thank Benedictine enough. And to the fans, thank you guys. You guys have been awesome. Keep showing up and showing your support. We love you guys' presence.
Coach Adam Barraza, appreciate your time, man. We enjoy talking to you, and we wish you, running backs, and Benedictine the best of luck. Go Ravens, man.
Go Ravens. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to Sports Look here on KAIR-FM. Horton Atchison, Gus, Kansas City Chiefs. You talk about starting a little slowly. They did. Talk about getting a little momentum. They did. And the Chiefs over the 49ers. That was a big win for them. A very good win for Kansas City last weekend.
Yeah, it didn't start out so pretty, right?
No.
Like the 49ers moved the ball up and down the field. You had the muffed punt. And at that point, you started thinking, oh, man, this is Indy all over again. But then the Chiefs just turned it on. And I'm going to tell you, when 15 is in that zone, he's going to be tough to beat, right? And for Kansas City, Juju played well. MBS played well. Mecole Hardman finally did what you've been looking for him to do all season, right? Like, you are the biggest Mecole Hardman fan. And what'd he do? Two rushing touchdowns and a receiving touchdown. So that Chiefs team on Sunday was not going to lose to many teams.
No. They played, again, they played really well. Loved seeing some of the guys kind of step up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you saw some of the defense play a little better. Williams had the interception in the end zone after getting burned a lot against the Bills. I mean,
and you know, I've been waiting for Mercole since the preseason.
I know, yeah. And he finally had the game that you've been looking for.
And so the NFL begins tonight, of course, with the Thursday night game. And, man, here are a couple of teams that everybody thought was going to be better. The Ravens at the Buccaneers. Ravens 4-3, Bucks 3-4 tonight.
And how are the Bucks a 2-point favorite in this thing? They have four starters that aren't going to play tonight. Julio Jones is a game-time decision. After the Buccaneers played the Panthers on Sunday and just looked abysmal, right? Like, the Panthers are supposedly mailing this thing in, and what, the Bucs got a field goal against them?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. This should be at least a fun game. It'll be a lot better than some of them that Thursday night has thrown at us this year. I'll be interested in this one.
And the Kansas City Chiefs, of course, we'll talk about some of the games coming up, but the Chiefs do have an open date. This is their bye week. And, because it brings me to a conversation that we'll just bump briefly. We're closing in on the trade deadline. Okay. And with that said, remember a week ago when they reworked the Travis Kelce contract and opened up some cap room and everybody says they're going to go out and they're going to get, and a lot of names got thrown out. So far, they haven't done anything. Are they going to do something? Is this just something that will not happen?
Yeah, but I just don't think at the end of the day it's a move anybody cares for, right? I think it's a go to the Bears and maybe try to pry them loose of a tackle like Tevin Jenkins or somebody like that that they've kind of moved on from. The one I've seen a lot lately is the Chiefs have supposedly called Houston to see what it would take to get wide receiver Brandon Cooks away from them. Cooks is a good enough receiver, but he's getting older, and so I don't know. Like, I don't know where that really helps you, especially the way the Chiefs are distributing the football. I just think that if it's going to be a player right now, it needs to be pass rusher or it needs to be offensive lineman. And I think that those guys are just going to cost too much at the moment. And so I think it might be a free agent like a Odell.
It could happen. Certainly Christian McCaffrey went to the 49ers, played against the Chiefs last week more than I really thought he was going to play. He's going to be a difference maker for that team.
Yeah, I mean, I really do think he's going to be pretty good for that team. He looked good on Sunday, but the problem was the Chiefs just pulled the 49ers out of the game that they wanted to play by virtue of just getting ahead the way they did. But yes, I think the 49ers are a team that, I said this to a buddy the other day, 49ers are a team that I wanted to play this week and not in 3 weeks,
yeah.
Right? Because I think once they kind of get things put together, I think they'll be a real tough team, especially in the NFC.
No real good games going on.
Not really.
In the NFL this week. I mean, you got Cowboys at home with the Bears. We've seen them struggle. The Dolphins have the Lions. Lions are not good. Dolphins aren't as good as they thought they were going to be. Raiders, Saints, a couple of two-win teams. Both of them have been disappointing to their fan base. Titans, Texans. Not much going on there.
I know you're excited about that Commanders-Colts game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, a couple of three-win teams getting together there. And when you thought it couldn't get any worse, then you got the Bengals and Browns on Monday night.
Yeah, Bengals-Browns, Monday Night Football. The Sunday night game, I'm interested in a little sense of, it's Packers at the Bills. I expect the Bills to run away with this, but man, Aaron Rodgers is kind of throwing everybody under the bus right now. So
is angry Aaron Rodgers a better Aaron Rodgers or worse Aaron Rodgers?
That's what I'm kind of wondering, is how this team responds to Aaron and how he's been this week. And I don't blame him. I mean, he called out some guys, not quite by name, but said that his receivers have to be better. He's not wrong, but again, how are you going to approach that criticism is going to be interesting. So, again, that Sunday night game, it starts at 7:20. It might be over by 7:45. I don't know, but I'll watch a bit of that. I kind of like that 49ers-Rams game, the 3:25 game, because, again, the 49ers are 3-4. The Rams are 3-3, but those guys are still in the hunt in the NFC.
Anyway, and again, Chiefs a bye week this week. Here on Get Radio, tomorrow night, we've got the Atchison Phoenix at Amelia Earhart Stadium hosting Fort Scott in the first round of the Acacia playoffs, and Saturday afternoon, Benedictine homecoming. 12:30 pregame, 1 o'clock kickoff, the Ravens and the Wildcats. Our Sports Hub sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, Exchange Bank, and Petro Convenience Store. Till we greet you next time. For Gus Kautz, Tom Kautz, so long, everybody.